on a lack of belief in our Kodesh Baruch Hu's Achdus, meaning as long as there's something else that can interfere with our Kodesh Baruch Hu doing what he wants to do, that would be a problem. So anytime we say that something else limits Hashem, that automatically is a problem of Achdus. Let's explain it just. It's almost by definition. You know, as Hashem's totality and oneness is the same. Because the minute I say there is something that limits HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be of equal, not strength, but of equal essence. So, for instance, if I tell you, you know, there's justice in the world, and from this very place, justice emanates in the world. I say, okay, I'm going to build a very big wall around it so justice doesn't emanate. Well, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with it. A wall is not the same as justice. But if I say I have a super duper laser here, and I say I'm going to build a super duper wall around it, so that means that the type of, there's something about the material of the wall that interacts, curtails, is also of the same, it has a common denominator. The reason why a wall can't stop justice is because there's no common denominator. No shaykh is one to the other. Kodesh Baruch Hu, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu can be curtailed, then there is something else of similar nature. And that would be shnios, that would be two. So call it kishuf, call it nature, call it whatever it is. Anything that can curtail or contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you back into the issue of a duality. So he had gone through two rishiyos, good and bad. He had gone through the laws of nature. And now he's toz dalit. This is obviously dealing with Christianity. And obviously, I mean, that's the same. The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand can be forced, at the end of the day, we are Bali Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Bali Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also says he wants us to be his Amanifcha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu even gave a mechanism to reconcile it to. And that mechanism is Vim Loi Biyat Chazakri Amalekha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will, even in a very forceful way, be Moilech on you. So there's no room for having any type of, any sense of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do it. The fact that our Bechira was something that could possibly curtail HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected the understanding of Hashem Echad. Kenyan Dvarim Surat Chateshi. And he was forced to leave them and switch them. All of these are tainus of the Goyim, and therefore their kfira is a kfira in Achdus. So people get taken in with that. The Golus is so long, it's so difficult. So it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dropped us because we did Averis, even though he made it very clear that he wants us at all costs. So the belief in the fact that Bechira of a person can force HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also a lack of emuna in Achdus.
That's just because the religion chose not to create a system where
he could have been nishbat himself to a system.
Like Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Kadosh Baruch Hu was nishbat to the avos that he's going to be goel us, that we're going to be his nation, and so on. He also said they wanted to do mitzvahs. So the Christian position is, yes, but you guys did so bad, Akash Baruch Hu said, they can't. I wanted to take them, but I've... So when Akash Baruch Hu leaves open-ended, like Shaul HaMelech, now, Akash Baruch Hu didn't give him an absolute haftacha, so it was all his bechira, that's Akash Baruch Hu wanted it. Kalal Yisrael, Akash Baruch Hu wants us, says that he's permanently committed, and the idea that because of our sins, we forced Akash Baruch Hu not to do that, is it's a lack of belief in Echad. And that is actually a Christian... And that is a very strong Christian belief, and the Christians do believe in the Trinity, duality, Trinity, whatever you want, and this goes to Shittosim in a sense. Hey, Tosei.
How is that Lishitosim? I don't understand.
In other words, once you're limiting our Kaddish Baruch Hu as being Kol Yochel, it's much easier now to have another. Once you break Echad by that's how you got in the Sedekal Yisrael. So now Kaddish Baruch Hu is also off the.
That's Midosa Kabir.
Yes. Tosei. Hadas Hachemishas Hidas Poish Yisrael. Oysem Shei Makirim Eskoino Mechav Limrei Droim. These are poshei Yisrael. They recognize Akash Baruch Hu in the mechav limagway. Ke'omayn she'amak klum mechavni lahachis ve'kol dekavasei. Ukraksiv lamrois enei kvoidei. She'yuchayshin she'yuchu lasas ne'yotzayin chasei shalom. They thought they could do something k'negas yotzayin. V'yachisu b'mayis meroyim k'misha machis es chaver bal korchei. V'acherim choshu l'schazik b'kshof u'ksomim. Let's talk a little bit about this point over here. A person who rebels again, who's rebellious, what are they doing? What's the Yetzer Hara of a kid who is a badafka? What's the Yetzer Hara of doing badafka? I remember when Sharansky was freed, so it was in Germany, and it was on a bridge between East Germany and West Germany, and you know the Soviets let him go, and on East Germany he walked over the bridge to West Germany, so they told him, you know, you're being let go, walk a straight line to the other side. Say bedafka zigzag, like you know tzlachis, and the yetzahara, and the truth is, that's probably the most basic yetzahara that we have, because that was the yetzahara of Chava, when she sinned. The yetzahara is to assert yourself. At the end of the day, our strongest sense is of self. And we wish to assert self, and that's what we need to do. So the idea of being able to do an aveira that gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset, when a kid does something that gets his parent upset, even if it's at the price of being walloped, but it's a good feeling. I was able to get through, and to to stick it to him where it hurts. That's sort of the feeling of a rebelliousness. So if a person who doesn't aver because he's a bal taiva, a person who doesn't aver lahachis, there's a sense over there that by this I'm asserting myself because I can assert myself. And yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can crush me, but I can still assert myself. So in down deep, a lahachis is a pegia in the tefis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Echad.
But it's interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a sense of...
Yeah, but he doesn't, but in a certain way, emotionally, I don't connect to that. I am, and that's it. You know? And
it might be just semantics, but like, if I do an Avera, I'm quote-unquote going against the Ratzon of Hashem. But not really, because it was his Ratzon. I mean...
But I'd say once you've empowered me, there was a certain yeshiva in Europe. I don't say the name of it, but the yeshiva, it's a yeshiva, was a yeshiva, or is a yeshiva, big bali shittas, and right is right, you have to do exactly this way, that way. And in its history, they have a fascinating piece where a Rosh Yeshiva hired someone else to run the yeshiva, whatever it is, and that person turned around and fired the person that hired him. It did a little shame. Shemayim, we did it because we felt that, you know, the other person wasn't right. He was like, fine. I'm not saying, but I'm saying, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me, but now I'm a self. I am me. And the truth is, you don't have to go far to approach this role. There are many, many so-called rabbis, so-called Orthodox rabbis, who will get up and will say, you know, I'm looking God in his eyes, and he couldn't do this, and he shouldn't do this, and I'll call him on it. You know, there's a very, very strong sense of... but this is every parasha goes like that. They tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they review HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities and mark him on whether they did right or wrong. My limud zchus is the mumala teovitz, not mumala hachis. But down deep, this is a statement. If a person questions, quote unquote, Hashem's actions, then basically he does not believe in Hashem Echad. That means I, in this particular area, know better than Hashem. So it's me and Hashem. We're on the same plane. So that's why, you know, imagine, let's take an example. Let's say I have a great piano player playing piano. And let's say he's playing a piece. So let's say I know nothing about music. And I tell him, oh, this is boring. Why don't you just bang, bang? I like it when it makes a big, big clashing sound. There's no steering between me and him. There are no two music players in the room. But if I have some havana and I tell him that piece should have been with a different knetch, then the pshat is I'm presenting myself as also a musician. You know, if when I come along and I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks it's right and I think it's wrong, then they take off Chassidish and Maisis, which also have a misleading. You know, I Levi Yitzchak Levi Yisrael tell you HaKadosh Baruch Hu this, this, and this, and this. You know, they had a cuteness to it; it meant something else. But what do you mean? Any equating of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with someone else is a steer to this. It's so terrible. It's really, that's what is going on. It's a deher of doing of yourself being type as yourself as an entity is somewhere equal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Like Zalman said, that we do find wrestling with God and arguing, you know, Avram
you Hughes, find because, you know, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'ata Hanichali, Tefillah, of course, every Tefillah you can ask yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me not well, and I'm saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu make me well. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will be, the world is full of different events. It is your job with Bechira and Tefillah to change it. That's fine. As long as, but not to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wrong, bad, mistaken. All those things, they don't have a makom.
So it's a chalila lecha. What's the pshat?
Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're allowed to say lefi midas mishpat that you wanted. He gave me a makom. As long as it was up for grabs, there was a makom tefillah and vikuach. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machav steim, you don't find Avram coming back and saying, why couldn't you have dealt differently with them?
Can I ask, in terms of stone, how is it that we make sense of Avram going to bat for people who are clearly like off the map in terms of their rishis? Like, what is that supposed to mean?
So, well, first of all, take a look at what it says in the Psukim. In the Psukim it says, it says maybe you'll find Tzaddikim there.
Yeah.
So that means if we find in the society Tzaddikim, first of all, don't indiscriminately, you know, save the city because of Tzaddikim. And secondly, it's only with the belief that if there's enough Tzaddikim in a society like that, it must be that the society has a core of good that needs to be changed.
If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to kill the Tzaddikim, like the rest of the city, so then like it must have some kind of chesed with them, like they're responsible for the moral collapse of the city, and therefore they deserve to die. Or you could say that, but like Marshall, like where's he coming from? If a Kohen Gadol decided they're responsible, then they should die. And if they're not,
but if I
could save them, like,
no, okay.
What does he need Avraham Avinu?
Well, Avraham Avinu made a simple chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me about it. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell me about it? It's just like if somebody tells you, Rahman HaTzan, I'm going to commit suicide, what he means to say is, save me. And that's the only reason I'm telling it to you. Why would a person tell you, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avram, this Avram, I want to bring you into the loop. You know, we're having a major, we're going to have a major fire exercise in Stone, or fire excise in Stone, and it can be gone. So obviously, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hanichali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I want you to do it, to do something about it.
Yeah. See, Moshe Rabbeinu had a chance, and he actually said, like, what if somebody told me I'm going to commit suicide? Watch. And he goes and runs and jumps off.
Again, but saying, but that person gave you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram understood it, that it's the Ratzon of Hashem that he present a case. And let's explain why. And let's explain the mile, why would it be that way. If I take a kid and let's say I decide he's misbehaving terribly in school, I'm going to throw him out. So, okay, that's one possibility. A second possibility is I say, you know, this kid has potential, this guy, you know, did something very bad, I'm not going to throw him out. Scenario two. Scenario three, I take the kid and I say, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And the kid says, no. I ask him, why not? It's much better in public school. No problem. I don't know, because this is what you want. Are you sure this is what you want? Yes. What are you going to do to be a productive member of this school, a good influence? So by having that delineated publicly, first of all, it helps the kid make that decision. Secondly, other people see, nobody sees that I didn't destroy him because I have good hope. All I see is there's no mishpat either. If Anshei Sdom are being destroyed and you know, not being destroyed, and there's such a shame, I also see a lack of mishpat. It's only when somebody gets up, a lawyer gets up and says, yes, they're very wicked, but look, they have some gewaldik and tzaddikim, so it must be that there's something good in that society. Let's work on developing it. You know, in a certain sense, that's Yonah and Nineveh. We spoke about it, I think, or someone spoke. I mean, Yonah and Nineveh, that was Yonah's taina. Yonah said, I mean, if you read the psukim, kipshutam, he said, listen, I mean, I'm going to tell them to do tshuva, they do tshuva. And people, and what? And then they do tshuva, and not, that's it. And they get them scot-free. And what kind of statement is it? Imagine, you know, a kid is caught in school selling drugs. You pull him in for a 15-minute chat. He comes out, give him a pat on the back, and say, I knew you could do better. I knew good better is when you from a C to a B. But when you're selling drugs, you expect something a lot more than that. And when you don't see that, it's also a certain miscarriage of justice, less than less dying.
So sort of like the first instance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu submitting himself to review?
Yes. Well, he's not submitting himself, he's giving man an opportunity to participate in that process. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates an oral and gave us the ability to make him into a mohol, which is a superior tzura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world and says, Redu v'kif shua, and so on. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets us in on his plans, it means he gave us a chance to participate, to be a shutet to the chesed of attempting to save a bria.
And you can juxtapose with the story of Avraham Avinu, especially because when Avraham Avinu showed himself to be that Baal Chesed, I got from said, okay, now we have a Baal Din that is right to review
right.
The opposite here in this world.
Right. And let me you know, and when talking, once we're talking about it, Revolver has an extraordinary vad about Mersebal Chaver. I want to take something that's on everybody's mind, or officially not everybody's mind. The incident that happened in D.C. So we trip over ourselves of saying how terrible it is. It's very bad. But And naturally, the tzaddiki ador, who all have a blog spot and spend most of the day with big mesiras nefesh, maybe it's a deicha tefillah and Torah and everything else, they can't find enough superlatives and mises mishunas to wish on a person. Okay, and it makes them feel very good. You know, it makes you feel very big tzaddik. Fine. Let's think of a second. I don't believe the person was born a Rasha Marusha and was playing a game all his life. I don't know a person well at all. I mean, that's something to say. I believe the person was a very good person, a lot of merits, a lot of good things, a lot of kohos, a lot of accomplishments. At some point, he got hooked into it, however it got started, never bothered to do anything about it. And slowly, so let's say it's been going on 10 years. So here's a man who's in his mid-60s. Until he was 55, the person did an awful lot of good things. He was a good person, a very righteous person. He got, it's not different than a drug. I mean, you know, you're not talking about one or two averes. You're talking about 24/7 activity. An addiction. So, and this person, you know, the life expectancy today is, let's say, 885. So this person has 25 years of life left to be, you know, wife and children will probably leave him, whether in fact or emotionally, it makes no difference. No job, every last penny will be taken away. Nothing that he could possibly do anywhere. And think of the Gehenna this person is in. The busha and the simple, the non-existence. People always say that, you know, when you're little kids, you fantasize like to be the invisible man. But to be an invisible man, when nobody can see you, hear you, or talk to you, is horrible. Nobody's gairus you. You're not. So you retire to a village somewhere in West Virginia where news takes 20, 25 years to catch up. And you're nothing and nobody, with nothing to look forward to, and just pain and shame, and no grandchildren that'll ever come to see you, and nobody will say, "Gosh, it's horrendous. It's a tremendous tsar, the matzev." You know, and again, whatever society needs to do to protect itself, that's not where I'm cutting corners. But the person should say to himself, "Oh my gosh, this person is going to spend 25 years in a Gehenna."
You're saying that the observer should feel a sense of empathy.
Yes, the sense of empathy, whether the person got there himself or not, whether it was his fault or not, those are all questions to answer. What resources should I allocate? How should society treat him? Because society needs to enact mishpat and din, but it shouldn't in any way pull a person's, it shouldn't get in the way of the person's own sense of empathy. He brings a vulva. There was the Alter Kelim on Shabbos had a very, very different surah. Like you could see on him the glow of Shabbos. One Shabbos he looked bad, at night, in the day, in the evening. When Shabbos was over, the Alter said, Peretz Smolenskin died. Peretz Smolenskin was a very vitriolic anti-Frum Moscow. He said, sitting all Shabbos thinking about the Gehenim that awaits that man, I couldn't bring myself to feel Shabbos dick. You know, he felt a tremendous tsar. Deserving and not deserving is a question when you're meeting out the level of punishment. That society needs to meet out the level of punishment. It's the right thing society to do, but it still tells you about the person that, you know, the person is a destroyed person. You know, I knew a man in Eretz Yisrael, a fair from person, a really decent, honest person, really. He became president of a bank. The bank had like a whole cable of people all from, unfortunately. They got involved over their heads, you know, in playing shtick with the money. They thought they'd make a lot of money. They thought they could help other people with the money. You know, I know the people well. One of them's sons was a neighbor of mine. One of them, I used to use the bank and so on and so forth. You know, the only thing I lost when the bank collapsed was my minus, my under. You know? I think I gained.
Maybe you orchestrated that.
And I know this person. It collapsed. The bank collapsed. They all went to jail, and they were all good people. It wasn't, they weren't driving fancy cars around. They weren't, there's no special. They were, what they were doing was pumping up the stock and getting people to invest. And I thought they really thought, you know, this way they'll get everything going and moving. And there were people who were very helpful and lived modestly. Believe me, I know the people well. And the whole thing collapsed. This person tried to run away. They caught him. He sat 7 years in jail. I met him. He was an older person, but he was a man in his 60s when he got out of jail. And I happened to bump into him. He was working, I guess, as a rehab. He was working, delivering sfarim or something. Like. I said hello. I was very friendly. I looked at him. He was not there. He was shattered. He was a ghost. He was someone who no longer existed. He was like somebody gone. You know, he didn't look there anymore. And so, should society allow people to go suffering? No. Should society impose the punishments? Yes. But should your heart go out for the person? Yes. And it's not a stereo. You know? So Avraham Avinu, Mitzrayim were bad people. And Akash Baruch couldn't say Shira because Maisi Yodai Toivim Bayam. Maisi Yodai is a power on all the people who did terrible things like Aisho. But it's a churban of a Bria Kadosh Baruch who made. And there's something about it that should tell us, it's if Akash Baruch made it, there wasn't a Kudav Toiv that could have been Toiv, and it's hard. Those are what?
Is that true of Amalek as well? Like empathy?
Amalek is an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. I'll give you an example. If I can give you an example, there'll be something like that. Occasionally, you have a psychopath. A person who was born, you know, from his earliest age, he's finding things and killing them.
Cats.
Yes. You know, you have the pit. I don't know. That's almost, I hate to use the word, it's like a flawed model. It's kind of, it went off the manufacturer. And again, Akash Baruch put it into the world for a reason, but that doesn't have a kiyum. And Amalek may be that. But you know, it's something which is...
Most people cannot deal with having empathy for victims and empathy for victimizers. And most people see that as misplaced empathy. They say, I know I just...
It depends where the empathy leads you to. If the empathy leads you to being makil in the person, like, for instance, the abuse issues in the firm community, where the empathy for the person and the consequences, which would be real consequences, made you do things that weren't right and would allow for more victims, that's misplaced empathy. And that's one of the reasons why a man has, you know, I believe, again, I don't have, but the reason why a shofet is a man and not a woman has a lot more empathy than a man, and that meat is very important for certain circumstances, and a man can be a little more matter of fact.
But maybe
there's a old joke, I remember, there's somebody came home furious, and he told his wife, that's it, I am firing the chauffeur, the family chauffeur. She said, why? He said, it's the third time that he nearly killed me. Oh, please, said, give him another chance. when the empathy crosses over, and the other thing, when the empathy for the victim crosses a line, that's like, you know, to prosecute somebody definitively without concrete evidence, without a chance for some defense, there's a balance. Of, you know, at what point are you suspicious of somebody? At what point do you indict somebody? At what point do you punish somebody? Those are very difficult issues. But the person can't be missing the Koyach HaNefesh. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu told Yonah. He said, I don't understand something. This tree that you did nothing to make it happen is it bothers you so much. And I am, you know, and this is a city with so many people and so many men and women, children, and it's so easy for you to be machavit because of a virus. That was a very, very, that's the most powerful statement on to this effect, is Yonah.
You see, I mean, a lot of people can't hear it, you know, somebody... Somebody told me, Maisha, that somebody in the community, like a very well-known woman in the community, went over to one of the gay rooms and said, you know, and she was like crying and very upset. She said, you know, feel bad for him, think about empathy, you know. She said, get away from me, like, you know, I can't. So it's like, it's people you can't hear it, you know, it's like.
Ein menachmim. If someone says, basically, to know what to say that is a stupidity. You know, the person who said it, I'm not going to say who, but to tell a person who's been hurt, think about how bad the other person feels, is the stupidest statement around. And it's a typical Chasar Das. But we're talking globally to make some state of your emotions. Yes, understand it. Sometimes with well-meaning intentions, you kill somebody. That type of statement, you know, right. Put it into the next video about how to nachmovel and
how to be back to chayla.
Right, right. You know, it's... Okay, good. So you said others...
The board of Revolva, just so that I understand, is that overall we need to be able to be noisive for Rishayim. Is that like...
Yes, for the person who became a Rasha, for the person who this is where he ended up choosing. As a person, he is he's good. We believe that every person inherently is good. This person turned himself, went off on a Derech Loto.
So the altar was looking at this person before he had become this tremendous.
Correct.
Hostile, and he was saying,
correct.
He had a chance to make it good for me.
Correct.
And now he's
correct.
Facing such
a I mean, I remember when I was growing up. So next to three blocks away was a street called Bowery Street. Bowery Street was the place. It was what's called Skid Row. It's people who, for some crisis in life, had taken to drink. Either drink precipitated a crisis or vice versa, and they ended up living in the gutters. And they would lie there drunk, bloated, horrible. You know, they made in their clothing, smelled terribly, they had these blue veins. It was 2-3 blocks in Shiva, sometimes there'd be an overflow crowd, they would come in and sleep. I'm serious, they would, you know, there'd be 2 or 3 guys, like especially Jewish guys. And you know, so when you walk there, you say, horrible, Bowery bums, is that horrible? But if you get older, you say to yourself, you know, oh my gosh, this was a person, and whether it was his fault or not, doesn't make a difference at this point. At this point, it's a churban of its own malakim, a person who had a present, a past, a future. He had something, and now he's a behemoth. It should evoke the rachmanis, chemloch, and so on. No, so Avram saw the potential. He was not mispalel for stone, for the wicked people's stone. He was saying, if there's a core group that's good, it must be that the national character is good, and maybe we could rehabilitate it. Allow them... Stoim was the antithesis of everything that he believed in. He didn't want to perpetuate Stoim. He wanted to say, is there an Eitzah to rehabilitate Stoim?
So you ever say that Rahomadit was sort of spits this media of looking at people who are everything that militated against him, and yet at the same time saying, wait a minute, something
yeah, but he wasn't. You say he wasn't being noticeable with the Rishayim.
He was noticeable with the toiv in it. That expressed itself by the people that are toiv. There's a famous anecdote. Somebody told the Satmar Rav would say the most difficult things against the state of Israel, the Zionists. So somebody said, take a look, Avram and Stoim. Take a look how he spoke about and pleaded and so on and so forth. So he answered. You don't know what Avram told the people of Stone. You know what he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't know what I tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, in other words, Avram telling Stone didn't tell them you guys are okay. He was telling him you're horrible, you're sinners, change your way, this is terrible, and so on and so forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pleading. And Avram says, yes, I'm telling them this is, they're doing terribly wrong, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm saying, have Rachmanis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth. That was this. Okay.
From
Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, Tata, there was no Machmas to save him.